the notes sheet that we have available to you that we think you'll find very helpful. If you don't have one and you would like to have one, if you just raise your hand and hold it up, we'll make sure that somebody gets a notes sheet to you. We have passages there that you're going to want to follow up with to follow up with the study. Anybody need one? Okay. All right. Thank you. Lord Yahweh, my shepherd, I lack not. In pastures of grass he has me lie down. To beside waters of rest he guides me. My soul he restores. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over, for thou anointest my head with oil. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. We're halfway through these six verses, moving phrase by phrase, even word by word, asking each week three questions. What is it that these words express to us? What do they report to us? What is it that these words expose for us? What do they reveal for us? And what is it that these words expect from us? What do they require from us? It's crucial that we recognize that our interest in answering these three questions is not nearly the product of our own natural curiosity or initiative. God created us to seek after him, having placed within our souls a deep sense of and longing for truth and reality beyond the limitations and insufficiencies of our material existence. We also need to recognize that our success in fully and accurately answering these questions is only possible with supernatural revelation initiated and accomplished by the Spirit of God himself. So let's pray. Lord God, our Creator and Heavenly Father, we bow before you today in grateful acknowledgement of your marvelous gift of life and your magnificent gift of illumination. We ask that you stir the yearning you have placed within us to know you, and that you satisfy that yearning with the light of your Spirit. Protect us, we pray, from all thoughts, sentiments, and impulses that might distract us from full engagement with your revelation of truth and its consequent comfort and confrontation. Show us the way, Lord, and empower us to obey. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. What do these words say? Well, actually, what it says is truly when. I'm not telling you that yea, though, is an inaccurate translation. I'm just telling you that when we read it, we might think, well, if. But that's not what it says. It says, indeed, or truly when this happens. This word that's translated yea, or truly, or indeed, it's used a variety of times in the Old Testament, including in Genesis chapter 44. This is a description of how Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt asking for help. Remember, years before, they have sold Joseph into slavery. They don't have any idea what's happened to him. He's gone through a number of challenges and difficulties, but ultimately has been brought to a high place of authority in the Egyptian government, leading a time of preparation and service to the people during a difficult period. There's also a famine in the land where Joseph's father and his brothers are living, and so they come to Egypt not knowing that Joseph is now in this high position in the government. They come asking for help. Joseph recognizes them but doesn't immediately disclose his identity to them. They get some grain to take back, and Joseph instructs his chief steward to hide one of his prized cups in the bag of grain that he gives to the youngest son, Benjamin. So then the brothers leave, not knowing the cup's in the bag, and just outside the city they're confronted. So here's what happens. When the chief confronts them, he stops and accuses them of stealing the cup, and they deny it, not knowing that it's in one of the bags. And they say to the chief steward, before there's any investigation, if any one of us is guilty, he should be killed. So the chief steward replies in verse 10, he said, so now indeed, same word, yea, yes, absolutely, truly, yea, now indeed, according to your words, let it be. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, but the rest of you shall be clear. Same words used also in Psalm 25:3. It says, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. And this word that's translated here, though, it really means when. Definitely doesn't mean if. For example, Genesis chapter 4, verse 12, Yahweh is speaking to Cain. Cain has killed his brother Abel, and he's being cursed. And Yahweh God, remember, Yahweh is the name, the personal name that God has revealed to us for himself. He says to Cain, when you cultivate the ground, not if, not though, when you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you, a wanderer and a drifter you will be on the earth. So these first two words, indeed, when you walk through. Notice that it doesn't say when you walk into the valley. It says when you walk through the valley. Same words used in Genesis 13, 17, for example, is also used in Exodus chapter 14, verse 6. This is that point where Moses and the people have left Egypt. They are there at the shore of the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is pressing hard behind them. And God gives these instructions. Yahweh speaks to Moses, as for you, Moses, lift up your staff and reach out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea. He didn't say you're going to walk out in the middle. He said, you're going through. You'll walk through the midst of the sea on dry land. Now, this happened at night. It's already dark. You can imagine the roar of the winds as they push back the waters and the restrained waters and the roar that was there. This was indeed a fearsome valley that they walked through, it says, not merely into. And it was a valley. There are a variety of words used in the Old Testament to mean valley. This particular one, the one that's used in Psalm 23:4, is not talking about some broad, fertile plain surrounded by mountains. It's a word that refers to a deep, narrow canyon or gorge with steep sides. Most often, therefore, because of how deep it is and how steep the sides are, it's usually in shadow. Most of the time in shadow, unless the sun happens to be directly overhead. Which takes us then to the next phrase, the shadow of death. This phrase is actually one word in the original language, and it's a word that's made by combining two together, the word shadow and the word death. And so I've translated it as death shadow. It's all one word. It's used 18 different times in the Old Testament, 9 of them in the book of Job, but that should tell you something, right? It refers to an experience of deep, dark suffering. For example, Job chapter 10, verses 18 to 22, Job is speaking to God. He says, "Why then did you bring me out of the womb? If only I had died and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been brought from the womb to tomb. Would he not leave my few days alone? Withdraw from me so that I may have a little cheerfulness before I go, and I shall not return to the land of darkness and death shadow, the land of utter gloom like darkness itself, of death shadow without order, and it shines like darkness." That's what this phrase means. The deepest, darkest gloom of death shadow of evil. This word evil means wickedness or harm that could be caused. When I walk through this time of suffering, this deep, dark time of perhaps wickedness or some kind of harm, that would feel like the darkest, darkest time. Psalm 56 is a description of this that I think should get our attention, but I want you to notice that what this says is that I don't fear when I encounter evil. It's not if I walk through Death Shadow Valley and perhaps encounter evil, I won't be afraid of any evil that might be there. That's not what it says. It says I won't be afraid when I encounter evil in Death Shadow Valley. Psalm 56, I'm going to read 1 to 5 and then verse 11. "Be gracious to me, God, for a man has swallowed me up in anger. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My enemies have swallowed me up in anger all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I fear not what flesh can do to me." It's not that flesh can't do anything to me, it's that I'm not afraid of what flesh can do to me. "All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil." And then verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid of what man does to me." Same thoughts you'll find in Psalm 118:6. "I'm not afraid of that evil that I'm going to encounter. Why? For thou art with me." Thou art with me. I'm not afraid. I don't fear when I encounter wickedness or harm, for thou art with me. This word that's translated "for" here, it's exactly the same word that I translated when I said, "Indeed, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And here it means "because." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, in that verse, this word's used 3 different times. This is Isaiah. He's had this amazing experience, this spectacular experience of a direct encounter with the presence of God. And he says, verse 5, "Woe to me because I am ended, because I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips, because the King Yahweh of hosts my eyes have seen. For thou art with me, because thou art with me, David is secure because he says, "You're with me." Genesis 35, verses 2 and 3 are an example where Jacob honors God who is with him. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 records the promise of Yahweh to his people. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Indeed, I will help you. Indeed, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You are with me. There's an important transition here that we need to see. I do not fear because you are with me, but there's a transition in the verses that I don't want you to miss. And it occurs right here where we are in the fourth verse. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then verse 4, "Indeed, when you..." David is no longer talking about the shepherd, who is our Lord. He is now communicating directly to the shepherd, who is our Lord. When we acknowledge our dependence as sheep, trusting the shepherd, trusting his patience, trusting that he restores us, trusting that he guides us to the places of rest. When we acknowledge our dependence as sheep, trusting the shepherd, we can move into the very personal communion directly with our loving Lord, and he becomes you, for he welcomes us into this communion. That's what this verse says. "Indeed, when I walk through death's shadow valley, I fear not evil or harm because you are with me." I fear not whatever evil or harm there is, for there will be evil and harm there. But I do not fear it because you are with me. That's what the verses say to us. What do these verses then reveal? Well, number one, they reveal you will experience suffering. If you hear anybody tell you, "Come follow Jesus, and everything will be hunky-dory," they are either lying to you or they don't know. Because that's not true, and it's certainly not our experience, and it's definitely not what is confirmed in Scripture. You and I, we will experience suffering. It may take many different forms. It could be pain, it could be grief, it could be anxiety, it could be fear, it could be disappointment, frustration, heartbreak. When I walk, not if. The promise that's here in this verse is for security in the valley, not a detour around it. I am unafraid, not because harm or evil will not come near me, but because when it's near me, I am not afraid of it. I do not fear evil is a description of what our Lord is doing within us, not around us. Our security, the security that's promised here, is not based on confidence that I won't encounter evil or ever be harmed. That's not what it says, or any other part of Scripture. It says that the promise is that our security through the experience is in his presence, not a shield from the experience. Now, some of you are going, "Well, why? Why do I, why?" And so Let me just refer you back to March 9th, March 16th, and March 25th last year. It's the Why series. It's on the internet, on our website. Go back and review it. We talk a lot about last year, March the 9th, March 16th, March 25th, why it is that we go through these. But I'm just telling you that what this says here is that when we go through these experiences, we will not fear the evil or harm that we will encounter. That's what these verses reveal. These verses also reveal that your suffering is temporary. For as I said, it says that the shepherd is walking with you through the valley, and the valley is not a dead end. A shadow is a temporary barrier between you and the light. That's what a shadow is. When I'm in the shadow, the light is still shining. If there were no light shining, there would be no shadow. The light has not stopped shining. And there is another end to the valley you're going through. Now, I don't know when you're going to get to the other end of the valley. I just want you to know that you will get to the other end of the valley if you trust the shepherd, for your suffering is temporary. And your security is conditional. Indeed, when I walked through Death's Shadow Valley, I fear not evil or harm because you're with me. Otherwise, I may be very afraid and have reason to. Lord Jesus reinforced and repeated the same promise to his followers on the night that he was teaching them after they had the meal together before he was betrayed in the garden. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, I will ask the Father and he will give you, that's a plural, he will give you another ally so that he may dwell with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. And then, of course, Matthew 28, 20, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so what these verses, what this verse reveals is that truly, indeed, when I walk through dark times of suffering in Death's Shadow Valleys, I do not fear evil or harm I encounter there because you, my Lord Shepherd, are my security, ever with me. That's the testimony that David is giving to us here in Psalm 23, 4. And that's what these words reveal. So then, what do they require? This is a familiar requirement. We've been repeating this week after week. This is actually the requirement of the entire psalm. The question is, how does the shepherd's promise to be nearby become my experience that you, my shepherd, are with me? I mean, many of you have heard this declaration that's recorded in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7. The psalmist cries out to God, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, dwell in the remotest part of the sea, Even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, even the night will be light around you. Indeed, darkness darkens not from you, and the night shines as the day. For you, darkness and light are the same. Now, is that a comforting promise to you, that no matter where you go, you're in the presence of the Lord? Or is it an ominous threat? What would be the difference? Well, think about Adam in the garden. God came looking for him, calling out his name in the cool of the day, and he ran and hid. As opposed to David, whose sin was dark and black, terrible. He was confronted with it, and he clung to God in repentance. Think about the difference between Judas and Peter. Judas, in utter despair, ended his life. Peter wept bitter tears of repentance and was restored to fellowship. The difference is whether or not you're trusting the shepherd, for that is what this verse requires. Dark shadows of uncertainty and fear are constant for so many people, so many of us. So much that previous generations took for granted is no longer guaranteed. Personal experiences and the incessant torrent of social media images and messages make troubles and tragedies around the world seem like our own personal experiences. Our shepherd Lord is light that shines above the shadow to pierce the darkness. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And all of this promise has been applied directly to Lord Jesus in Scripture. For as is revealed to us in Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the death shadow, the light has shone on them. And that is explicitly applied to Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. And then in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, who regains his speech after John is born and has a prophecy about his son and about the Messiah, Lord Jesus says in verse 79, Luke chapter 1, to shine on those who sit in darkness and the death shadow, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so we have this declaration in Psalm 107, verses 10 to 15. There were those who lived in the darkness and in the death shadow, in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and rejected the direction of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the death shadow and broke their bands apart. They shall give thanks to Yahweh for his merciful covenant faithfulness and for his wonders to the children of man. The promise is deliverance from the gloom, the darkness of the grip of the death shadow. There is deliverance available for the penalty of sin that brings us into darkness. It's the way the Bible talks about this rebellion that's referred to here. We experience this darkness from our own rebellion. And the Lord allows us, as long as we choose, to stay in the darkness, but he is here, ready to deliver us from the penalty of sin's darkness. That's what the cross is all about. Lord Jesus came, the light came, and he stepped into the darkness to take our place, to be totally separated from the Father in a way we cannot explain, but is described in Scripture, to suffer for us the penalty of separation in darkness from the Father so that we would not have to. And if we will just receive him as our substitute, what many people refer to as receiving him as Savior, we are delivered from the penalty of sin's darkness. And when it only takes one time, you just need to genuinely receive him as your substitute, as your Savior, and you are delivered from sin's penalty. If you are not sure that you've ever done that, then I encourage you right now, in the quietness of your heart, I'm going to keep talking, but in the quietness of your heart, turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, I receive your substitution for me. And I receive you as my Savior, having paid the penalty for me. Deliver me, Lord, from darkness. And he will. He will immediately. Many of us have done that. We have been delivered from sin's penalty, but we continue to travel through periods of sin's darkness. And so we must continually turn to him over and over. We have been freed and delivered from its penalty, but we continue to experience the shadow of sin's darkness. And so we must continue to do what David is calling us to do as the Spirit leads him, and that is trust the shepherd to bring us through death's shadow valleys. September 27, 1966, after hours of being verbally abused, falsely accused, physically battered, and threatened to be killed by an orchestrated assembly in Shanghai, China, that turned into a mob of attackers, Nian Cheng continued to protest that she was not guilty of any crime against the Chinese people. So without warning, they took her out of the large room where the attacks had occurred, out to the street, where Ms. Chang saw a black police jeep, which she described in her book, Life and Death in Shanghai, as, quote, a familiar sight to the people of Shanghai that they often saw dashing through the streets with sirens screaming, taking victims to prison. There she was confronted again with a demand to confess. And this is part of how she described her experience in that moment. Quote, I was silently reciting to myself the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, people were continuing to shout while officials were watching her closely, and she wrote, quote, they mistook my silence as a sign of weakening. I knew I had to show courage. In fact, I felt much better for having recited the words of the Psalm. Nothing around her had changed, but something within her had been strengthened. She continues, I had not been so free of fear the whole evening as I was in that moment, standing beside the black jeep, a symbol of repression. Ms. Chang was already in Death's Shadow Valley. The previous 3 months, her comfortable home had been ransacked, her books had been burned, her works of art destroyed. She had been subjected to sessions of intimidation and threat and restricted to a single room in her house for several weeks. She was forbidden to even speak to most of her household employees or even her own young adult daughter who worked as a film actor but lived in the same house. Why? Well, the accusations were that she was a spy, but her crimes were that she was affluent and educated, having been to university in England. Her husband had been a diplomat for the Chinese government before the Communist Party came to power, but rather than accompany his associates to Taiwan, he had stayed in Shanghai, brought his wife and daughter there, and was given a position with the Foreign Service of the Communist government. And when the Shell Oil Company invited him to serve as general manager of their operations in China, the government eagerly approved. And he worked for Shell for 8 years, ending with his death from cancer. After his death, Ms. Chang accepted Shell's invitation with government approval to work as a special assistant to the manager, basically running everything whenever he was absent. He was not from China. She continued in this position for 9 years. Eventually, though, the communist policies changed. Shell Oil turned over all its assets to the communist government, and they left the country. That was in the spring of 1966. So on this night in September 1966, she was just beginning in the darkest part of her journey through the Death Shadow Valley. As they handcuffed her, put her in the black Jeep, and drove across the city to incarcerate her. She was incarcerated in the prison known for holding those who were considered enemies of the people, and she was detained there for 6.5 years. I will not detail all she suffered. Just know that she should have died several times and wanted to die several more. She was held in a filthy, solitary cement cell with very little light and bare furnishings. The food was meager at first, then less, and some days none at all. She was only allowed brief interactions with guards, none with other prisoners, and was subjected to multiple hours of psychological pressure and physical torture, including 11 days with no break, 11 continuous days with her wrist handcuffed tightly behind her back. The resulting wounds left permanent scars. She suffered frigid cold in winter and stifling heat in summer. She lost virtually all her body fat, had at least 2 bouts of pneumonia, extended hemorrhaging, frequent exhaustion, and ended up with severely infected gums. Ms. Chang wrote these words in description of this part of her path through the Death Shadow Valley. Quote, throughout the years of my imprisonment, I had turned to God often and felt his presence. In the drab surroundings of the gray cell, I had known magic moments of transcendence that I had not experienced in the ease and comfort of my normal life. My belief in the ultimate triumph of truth and goodness had been restored, and I had renewed courage to fight on. My faith had sustained me in these darkest hours of my life and brought me safely through privation, sickness, and torture. At the same time, my suffering had strengthened my faith and made me realize that God was always there. It was up to me to come to him. End quote. Now, I don't know that your journey through Death Shadow Valley would be as brutal as Nien Cheng's, but I do know that when you walk through Death Shadow Valley, you do not have to fear the evil you encounter there, because Lord Yahweh, the shepherd, will be right there with you if he is your shepherd. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 5, but now this is what Yahweh says, your creator Jacob, and who formed you Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not wash you away. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious in my sight, You are honored, and I love you. Fear not, I am with you. Every life path includes traverses through dark canyons, sometimes flooded with sorrow or disillusionment or dread or pain, periods when passage seems slow and the trail is rough. But no, you're not alone. And know that the far end of the valley opens out to lush pastures, waters of rest and restoration for your soul. Trust the shepherd. We celebrate that deliverance that he gives us, his presence that is our security in the dark shadow valley. Every month, especially with this experience we refer to as the Lord's Supper, celebrating deliverance that he and only he can provide. So we're going to go into that experience now. I invite those who are going to help me to come and join me here at the front as we begin this experience together. In nations